Now we're going to see another spiritual victory as the Lord Jesus healed two men who were in a most pitiful condition. Men who were not just demon-possessed, they were actually filled with demons. Not just a demon possession, it's a most pitiful thing that we're going to see. The account that we're going to be dealing with is actually found in three of the Gospels, found in the Synoptic Gospels, as they are called. Matthew 8, verse 28 to verse 34 gives an account of this. Also Mark 5, verse 1 to 20, and then in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. And so by comparing those three passages together, we were able to see exactly what transpired. This is probably one of the most clear presentations. It's one of the most clear, detailed accounts of our Lord's power over the powers of hell. This is one of the clearest accounts. That is, as we saw last time, we're going to see his power over those unclean spirits, those unclean devils. Jesus had gone into an area we find in our text. It was called the country of the Gergesenes in Matthew 8, verse 28. It's called the country of the Gadarenes in Mark 5, 1 and Luke 8, 26. Two different names, but there is no contradiction there. There is no contradiction. Merely different names with different spellings for those people who lived in the area called Gadara, which was on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, and it was near to that area that we saw some weeks ago called Decapolis. That's where this area was located. Now, from the context, we know that Jesus had told his disciples, you remember, he said, let's go to the other side. So they got in the boat, went across the Sea of Galilee. You remember the story as they're making their way across. There's this great storm, and the disciples thought they were going to die, and they look around, and Jesus was sound asleep in the boat. And you remember the story. They woke him up. Master, don't you care? Aren't you concerned? We're about to die here. Don't you care? And I heard one preacher one time said he was fully man when he laid down and went to sleep, but he was fully God when he stood up and said, peace be still. And the whole storm immediately, it was all calm. And so they come to the other side. They come to the other side, and now we're going to see that Jesus, just as he showed his power over the natural world when he calmed the storm, now he's going to show his power once again over the spiritual world. So let's begin by noticing, number one, the demoniacs. The demoniacs. And a couple of things that we would mention here. First of all, their number. Their number. Matthew tells us, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, Matthew tells us that there were two possessed with devils. Both Mark and Luke only mention one. They only mention one. However, this difference is really not a problem. It's really not a problem. Since they are concentrating on the more prominent of the two. In other words, this is the same thing. You remember several weeks ago when we were talking about blind Bartimaeus? Remember we were talking about blind Bartimaeus and we saw how that there were two blind men there, but Bartimaeus is the only one who is mentioned. Bartimaeus is the only one who is mentioned because he was the one who was more vocal. And he was the one who was more well known. And so the other one was there, the other one was healed, but he's not mentioned except in one of the Gospels, whereas Bartimaeus is mentioned in the others. And so the number of them, there's two There's two. That's the point I want you to get. Now, I want you to notice also letter B. I want you to notice their condition. Matthew 8:28, the Bible says they were possessed with devils. They were possessed with devils. You understand when we talk about demons. We are talking about those former angelic beings. They were created by God. They had a place in heaven with God. However, there came that day when they were expelled from heaven after they had chosen to follow Lucifer in his attempted overthrow of God's throne. Now, you can read about that over in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. In chapter 14 of the book of Isaiah, verse 13 and verse 14, the Bible talks about how that Lucifer, most beautiful creature that God had created, he was the cherub that covered. He was the cherub whose responsibility was to hover over the throne of God. And that was his position, the highest of the creatures that God had made. But Lucifer became lifted up with pride. And he said, I'm going to put my throne over the throne of God. I'm going to take God's place. I'm going to receive the worship that goes to God. And a third of the angels, the Bible implies in the book of Revelation, a third of the angels followed Lucifer in that attempted overflow. And they were cast out of heaven. They were cast out of heaven. Lucifer became Satan. And those angels who followed him became these demonic spirits. Now, Herbert Lockyer, in his book, All the Miracles of the Bible, he noted here that what actually happens in demon possession, when a person is demon possessed, when these unclean spirits, these demonic spirits come in and when they take up residence in a person's life, here's what he said. He said, what actually happens in demon possession is the invasion of the human personality. It's the invasion of the human personality. It is an intrusion into the physical and psychical. Did I say that right? Psychical? The psyche, okay. Anyway, it's an intrusion into the physical, the psychical domains, with consequent discord and disharmony. In other words, whenever demons come in, they mess up everything. They bring discord. They bring disharmony. They bring all kinds of heartache, all kinds of trouble. In fact, that's why many dysfunctional problems that people suffer can actually be attributed to demon possession. For example, and there are many examples that we find in the Bible, but for example, in the Bible, we find that demon possession sometimes resulted in a person being blind and unable to speak. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. We also can find that demon possession sometimes resulted in people being taken with seizures. Mark chapter 9, verse number 17. We also find that demon possession can result in a person being deaf and unable to speak. Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Now, just like last week, I was talking about, kids running across the back. Don't think they're demon possessed, okay? Same thing is true here. Just because you see a blind guy, don't say, oh boy, he's demon possessed. You know. What would that say about Brother Elliot, the guy that preached for us, you know? Don't just because you see someone who is blind. The thing you have to understand, sometimes people have difficulties because of physical reasons, and we understand that. But there are also times when physical symptoms may be showing that there's a spiritual problem that is deeper on the inside, see? And so that's the thing that we need to remember. The thing I want to emphasize here this evening, though, is simply this. Demon possession is always a terrible curse. It's always a terrible curse. Many people have the idea, and I've talked with young people who had this idea. They want to get plugged in to the other side. They want to get plugged into this source of what they perceive as being real power, you know. And they don't realize that the power, the blessing, the good things that those demons promise, it never works out that way. Never works out that way. Demons do not inhabit people to bless them. Demons inhabit people to curse them. And the reason for that is simply because, get this, Satan and all his little minions, Satan hates with a passion every person whom God loves. And who does God love? God so loved the world, right? The world. Satan may come across like he wants to be your best friend and your best buddy, but you mark it down, Satan's greatest desire is to totally destroy and to damn all of those whom God desires to save. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. So we see their condition. These men are controlled by these demonic, evil spirits. Notice letter C, their personality. Whether men are controlled by God or Satan will almost always be evidenced by their actions. Think about it. Whether men are being controlled by God or by Satan, it's always going to be evidenced by their actions. And it's also going to be seen in their personalities. And since these men were controlled by demons from hell, it's not surprising then that their personalities were personalities that were sinful and wicked. Notice several things. First of all, we see it in their direction. In their direction. Luke chapter 8, verse number 27, the Bible says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time." Now these men, like every other man, was conceived in sin. I said direction, didn't I? That should be duration. I'm sorry. Should be duration. There is a difference there, isn't there? Duration. But these men, like every other man, had been conceived in sin. Bible says in Psalm 51, verse number 5, the psalmist said that he was shapen in iniquity, you know. And so he was conceived, they were conceived in sin. And as soon as they were born, just like all the rest of us, they began acting like sinners. Psalm 58, verse 3 talks about how that they go from the womb speaking lies, right? And so not only are they conceived in sin, as soon as they're born, they begin to sin. And the fact is, this is not something new for any of us. We're all born in this same condition. But these men had sunk to an even lower level. Now, we don't know how it happened. We don't know what they did. We don't know how they opened themselves up to be possessed by these demons. But something happened in their lives, and there was a time when they opened themselves up to be possessed, to be controlled by the demons of hell. And the Bible says that the duration of that was that they had been in that case a long time. They've been in it a long time. The duration. We also see it in their dress. In their dress. The Bible says in Luke 8:27 that these men had devils a long time. And it's interesting what comes next. Did you notice it? They've had devils for a long time. They're controlled by the demons of hell. Result, very next thing, and wore no clothes. They wore no clothes. It is a fact that will cause many people to get upset. But the way we dress on the outside in a very real way reveals what we have on the inside. It's true. The way we dress on the outside, it reveals what's going on the inside. If you remember when Moses went up into the mountain, went up into Mount Sinai, had a meeting with God, 40 days he was in the presence of the Lord. And you remember while he was up in the mountain, then the people, they all came to Aaron and said, We don't know where Moses went. You know, he's gone off up in the mountain. He may be dead. He may be, we don't know. Make us a god. And you know the story, right? Aaron said, break off all your jewelry and your rings and your earrings. And so they collected the gold and they put all of it into the fire. And lo and behold, out of the fire, there walked a golden calf. Do you believe that? If you believe that, I got some swampland in Florida I'd like to sell to you. No, that's not what happened. They took that gold and they fashioned a golden calf and they set it up. And you remember the blasphemy of it when Aaron made the announcement. Here is your God. This is the one that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the people began to offer sacrifices to it. They began to sing their praises to it. The Bible says they began dancing around it. And then it makes this statement. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 25. When Moses came down, he saw all of the things that was going on. You know what else he saw? The Bible says Moses saw that the people were naked. Isn't that interesting? They were naked. Bottom line, the further people get away from God, the less they cover up on the outside. And the closer people get to God, the more modest they become in their dress. Just a fact. Just a fact. Their dress. Number three. We also see the impact that these demons had in the lives of these men in their dwelling. In their dwelling. Mark chapter 5, verse number 3, the Bible says that this man had his dwelling among the tombs. Among the tombs. Mark chapter 5, verse 5 says that it was in the mountains. The custom was that people would be buried in a mountain place. And so that's where these men dwelled. They dwelled up in the mountains where the tombs, where the graveyard was. Luke chapter 8, verse 27 tells us that they abode not in any house, but in the tombs. In the tombs. The picture is very clear. Don't you think? Those who are controlled by sin love to dwell in the places where death and corruption reign. Those who are being controlled by the demonic spirits and those who are under the power and influence of sin, they love to be in those places that are marked by death, marked by corruption. Not only do we see it in their dwelling, notice number four. Number four, we see the effect of these demons is seen in their discontent. In their discontent. Mark 5 and verse number 5 says this concerning these men. It says that always, day and night, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, and he was crying. He was crying. The truth is, sin never satisfies. Never satisfies. Certainly, sin makes great promises. Makes great promises. But sin only produces the misery of emptiness, the misery of disappointment. The fact is, and we would do well to remember this, the fact is the psalmist nailed it absolutely right. Psalm 107 verse 9, when he said that only God satisfieth the longing soul. Only God can bring satisfaction to the soul that is seeking and searching for that which it needs. These men in the tombs, was no satisfaction there. There's only discontent. And so the Bible says they dwelt in that place and they were crying. The idea literally is to scream out in agony. It's the idea that is there. Discontent. Number five, we see the impact of these demonic spirits in their domination. In their domination. There were times when men tried to tame these demoniacs. There were times when men would literally capture them. They would bind them with chains. They would bind them with fetters, which simply means restraints. And they would bind these demoniacs. They would try to tame them. Try to tame them. But the thing you need to remember is simply this. Mere mortals can never control. They can never tame. They can never dominate the demons of hell. That's why only a fool dares to presume that they can somehow use demons to advance themselves. They can use demons for their own good. They can tame, they can control those demons to make them do what you want them to do. That's a fool's game. That's a fool's game. Men tried to tame them. Men tried to control them. But mere mortals can never control. They can never dominate. Rather, the opposite is always going to be true. The opposite is always, and that's exactly what we find here. Notice it in Luke chapter 8, verse number 29. The Bible says that he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. That's man's attempt to control the spiritual world. That's man's attempt to try to tame and control these demons. But notice what happened. He break the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. To play with sin and to think that we can control sin is a fool's game, because someone has well said, sin will always take you further than you want to go. It will always keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will always cost you more than you want to pay. That's true. That's true. And the fact is, when we try to bind sin, we try to control sin, we think that somehow sin is a game, that we can play with it and we can come out the winner. You need to understand, Satan will break every chain and every fetter that you place on your sin, and then he will drive you into a spiritual wilderness of hopelessness and death. Bottom line, again, sin never brings freedom. Sin never brings freedom. In fact, it is the worst form of slavery. It's the worst form of slavery. That's why Jesus said this in John 8:34. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin, he is the," what's the word? "He is the servant of sin." He's the servant. You don't boss sin. You're not the master who says, "I'm going to control my sin. I'm going to tame it. I'm going to be real good on Sunday, and then I'm going to live like the devil the rest of the week." And no, eventually you're going to bring the devil to church with you on Sunday, because he breaks the fetters. He breaks the chains. And eventually it's all going to come out. That's exactly what the Lord said when he said, be sure, what? Your sin is going to find you out. You can't play with sin and win. You can't control it. You can't chain it. Satan has a way of breaking the chain and driving you. And so whoever commits sin, Jesus said, he's a servant. Servant of sin. Not only do we find that these demons worked in their domination, number six, we see these demons also worked in these men in their disfiguring. Mark chapter 5, verse number 5. These men, the Bible says, it says concerning cutting himself with stones. In other words, self-mutilation. That's what we're talking about. Taking stones and doing physical harm to the body. Mutilating the body, disfiguring the body by making cuts in their own flesh. Something about the mutilation of the body, and again, I think it goes back to the fact that Satan hates God, and he hates everything that God loves, and he even hates the body that God has given to us. And because of that, Satan's desire is that body that God created, and when he created it and looked at all the things that he had created, his analysis of it all was, it is all, remember Genesis 1, it was all very good. And so Satan comes along and he wants to mutilate what God made to be perfect. And so these men, under the control of Satan, are disfiguring their bodies, cutting themselves with stones. Remember, we see the same thing throughout the Bible. Remember back in the Old Testament? The prophets of Baal. During their contest with Elijah, remember the question was, which God is the true God, right? And so Elijah said, "Well, you build your altar and you pray to your God. I'll build my altar. I'll pray to my God, and we'll see which God answers with fire from heaven." And he said, "I'm by myself. I'm the lone prophet here. You got a bunch of you prophets, so y'all go first." And so they built their altar, and they began to pray, and they began to cry out to their God, "Oh, Baal, send fire down from heaven, send down fire down from heaven." And you remember, no fire fell. And so Elijah, I like Elijah. Elijah started kind of agging him on a little bit, you know. Said, "Well, you know, maybe your God is sleeping. You know, maybe you need to yell a little louder." Still no fire. "Well, maybe he's gone on a vacation somewhere. Maybe he's on holiday, and you need to a little louder, you know." And these people got so worked up. 1 Kings 18, verse 28 says, they cried aloud. Now notice it. Notice what goes with this. They cried aloud and cut themselves. They cut themselves. Notice it. After their manner. In other words, that was their custom in their religion. Self-mutilation. The cutting of themselves. That was after their manner. That was their custom. And so they begin, these prophets of Baal, they begin to cut themselves with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. I've read that even today, virtually every pagan religion in the world has some form of self-mutilation. It's demonic. It's demonic. Number 7. We see the influence of these demons also working in these men in their disruption. In their disruption. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28, the Bible says, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. Now notice it, the Bible says that they were exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. In other words, we see their disruption in the fact that these men, that not only were they doomed themselves, but they also were willing to hinder anybody else who tried to walk in that way. Disruption. And so we see the sad fact. We see the sad fact of their personalities and how that Satan worked in them and through them to bring about such tragic consequences, such a pitiful condition that we find these men in. But then also I want you to notice letter D. I want you to notice their hypocrisy. I want you to notice their hypocrisy. Mark chapter 5, verse number 6 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now on the surface, that sounds like a really good thing, right? I mean, here's a guy, demon-possessed, comes, begins to worship the Lord. And of course, the word here does not mean that they honored God. It does not mean they glorified God. Rather, the meaning of what that means, when it says they worshiped him, the meaning of it is made very clear when we go to one of the parallel passages in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 28. The Bible says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down. Same word, worshiped. Fell down before him and with a loud voice said, does this sound like worship? What do I have to do with thee? What do I have to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of God Most High. You see, even though the demons acknowledged who Jesus was, and we saw this last time also, right? We saw this last time. Even though the demons acknowledged who Jesus was, they confessed they didn't want anything to do with him. They wanted nothing to do with him. So why did they come and bow down before him? That's a reasonable question. It's a logical question. If they wanted nothing to do with him, then why did they come and bow down before them? And the answer is given to us in Luke 8:29. And when you piece it together, you find here's what happened. They did that because he, that's Jesus, had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. That's why they fell down before him. Jesus had commanded those spirits. And so now they fall down before Jesus and they said in Luke 8:28, they said, I beseech thee, torment me not. Do you see the hypocrisy in that? Do you see the hypocrisy in that? Suppose Brother Allen's up here leading the singing, and suppose I come up here, and I'm standing beside him, and I kind of get real close, and I take my hand and I kind of stick it over in his pocket, and start start getting his money. Okay? And then suppose Brother Moore, you better watch him. Suppose Brother Moore, he comes up, he gets up real close to me, he starts putting his hand in my pocket. And I say, "Here, get out of my pocket. What are you doing?" And all the time I'm over here, I'm getting Alan's money but don't take my money. That's stealing. You know, the Bible says it's not nice to steal. You shouldn't do that. Do you see the hypocrisy in that? Now remember all the misery the demons have brought into the lives of these men? Remember all the misery we've outlined? Gave you those 7 points. All of the misery, all of the torment they were causing in the lives of these men. And yet they turn around and say to Jesus, "Now don't torment us. Don't torment us." See the hypocrisy in that? Mark 5, verse 7. They said, "I adjure thee by God." Now these are the demons talking. "I adjure thee by God." In other words, the way we would say that today would be, put your hand on the Bible and say, "I swear. I swear to tell the truth." You know how you've seen American courtrooms, you know, they always do that, put the hand on the Bible, and, you know, I swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. Same idea. "I adjure thee by God. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." In other words, don't send me to hell. Don't send me to hell. Now, I think it's important for us to understand this evening that even though many people reject the biblical doctrine of hell, demons do not. They totally believe it. They totally believe it. And the reason for their fear was the same as their reason for falling down before him. Mark 5, 8, notice it. "For," that is, "because he had said unto them, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And so they fall down before him. And they beseech him that they not be sent to hell. Now notice letter E, their conversation. Their conversation. Just a couple of points here that I want us to notice. First of all, the identification. The identification made. Mark chapter 5, verse 9. "And he," that is Jesus, "asked him," that is the demon who was doing the talking. Okay? Jesus is now carrying on a conversation with this demonic spirit. And Jesus asked this demon who is doing the talking through this man's body, through this man's voice. He asked the man, or the demon, "What is thy name?" "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We are many. Now, a legion in the Roman military, a legion was a military word. It was used to describe an army of about 6,000 men. About 6,000 men. So in other words, to put it in human terms, this demon was a high-ranking demon. He was a high-ranking demon that was over many lower-ranked demons. Now, whether or not Satan's army follows the Roman army, or the Roman army followed Satan's army, and there were 6,000 demons, that we won't say that, but what we will say is there was a multitude in there. There was a multitude in there. And so we find the identification is made. But then notice number two, we see the request. The request made. Mark 5:10 says, "And he besought him," that is, the demon, besought the Lord Jesus. "Besought him," notice it, "much." Much. He besought the Lord much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now I want you to remember a very important point here. Satan is a very powerful creature. He's a very powerful creature. But I want you to remember this. Satan is not omnipresent. He is not, in other words, he cannot be everywhere at the same time. That's why when sometimes I hear people say, you know, the devil made me do that. And I know good and well they're lying. I know the devil didn't make them do it because the devil was at my house. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. Can't be everywhere. And so therefore, Satan rules this world. He rules this world through a host of delegates that are identified for us. And they have different ranks. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. That's exactly what Paul is talking about. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But we wrestle, here's where we're in this spiritual warfare, not flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This country where Jesus met these men, this country called the country of the Gadarenes, this country was the domain that Satan had given to those demons. That was the domain that Satan had entrusted to them. And they did not want to be driven away from their place of duty. That's why their request was very clear. Don't send us out of this country. Right? Don't send us out of this country. In fact, even if they could not possess men, rather than being sent out of that country, that possessing pigs would be okay as long as they were able to stay where their master had placed them. And so Mark chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 12, the Bible says that there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Now we're out of time. We're going to stop here. We'll take up here next time. But let me just close by taking you back to that last thought. Remember I said before, Satan hates everything that God loves, right? Satan wants to destroy everything that God wants to save. Let me just remind you this evening that when Satan comes along and tries to convince you that he's your best friend, when Satan comes along and tries to convince you that if you will just follow him, you're going to find real joy, real happiness, real peace. You're going to find all the things that you long for and that you desire in life. I want you to just remember one thing. Just remember this, that in the eyes of Satan, you are of no more value than a pig. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's pretty plain. In the eyes of Satan, he just soon trade you off for a pig. Doesn't make any difference. No more value. Now compare that. Compare that with what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, he said, behold the fowls of the air. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now listen to the question Jesus asked. He said, are you not much better than they? Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Lord, pray that you would help us to understand the seriousness of this spiritual warfare that we're involved in. Lord, help us to understand that Satan desires nothing more than to take a hold in our life and to chain us and to bind us with sin. And Lord, even though we may try to control it, even though we may try to get victory over it in our own strength, yet the truth of the matter is it never works out. Lord, it may be that even tonight there's someone here wrestling with some sin in their life, some some temptation that they're wrestling with on a daily basis. Lord, I pray you would help them to understand this evening that their only hope of victory is by turning to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us not to depend on the arm of the flesh, but help us to always be dependent on you. For you are truly the one who satisfies the desire of our heart. You're the one who satisfies the longing of our soul. And you're the one who gives us victory to walk in the way that we ought to go. And so, Lord, help us to understand that tonight. Help us to realize it. And Lord, help us to trust you and to depend on you the way we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.